month of the year. We are in the holiday season, and it is the most wonderful time of the year. So my prayer for us is that we would finish strong in 2016 and begin to really open up our hearts and our minds for all the great things that God wants us to do in 2017. But really, what's on my heart more than anything else this morning, and I hope it will be communicated through the message, is that I really want us to take the time this season to really just draw close to Jesus in a new and a fresh way in our own lives. And so with that, turn with me to Luke 2, Luke chapter 2, 1 through 12. I have the great privilege of kicking off a new series this morning called The Sign. And with that, Lord, bless our children as we release them for Children's Church. Lord, let them have a great service. Give our instructors wisdom and let them grow just like Jesus did. Lord, let them grow in wisdom and stature and favor with you and men in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 12, we will read, starting a new series called The Sign. The Sign. Scripture reads, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' This will be a sign to you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your son Jesus came and was born. And Lord, with that, named also Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Jesus, the one who would save us from our sins. Lord, the one who would come to testify to the truth. Show us the way and what life really is. And so, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to celebrate his coming, Lord, we have great expectation of his return. And Lord, I pray that all throughout this holiday season, all throughout the month of December, Lord, that, Lord, something would happen in our hearts where the birth of Christ would be new and fresh in our lives. And the reality of our relationship with you, Lord, would be just so evident. Because, Lord, we're walking so close with you, and, Lord, we're impacting so many people. So, Lord, let us be encouraged to live that way this morning, and, Lord, help me communicate your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 A prophetic declaration, a virgin pregnant with a baby, angelic visitations, a bright shining star in the sky, magi delivering gifts, a threatened king issuing an edict to kill all the firstborn male babies. All these were signs that something extraordinary was about to happen. What were all these signs attempting to reveal to the people? They were revealing that Jesus had been born. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. Time had changed forever. In fact, from that moment on, we would no longer define time in the same way. We would now mark it as before Christ and after Christ. Anno Domini, meaning in the year of the Lord, and even the most vitriolic, hateful atheist, every time he acknowledges what day it is, has to acknowledge the reality that Jesus Christ came into the world. He was born, and he came to be with us. He came to be close to us. He came to reconcile us to himself and to bring us into right relationship with him. The very thought that we can know God and that his spirit can live in us and we can walk with him is an amazing thought, and that should be nothing that ever grows calloused or old in our hearts, but should be something that tenderizes us and draws us more and more into his great grace and his great mercy and his great love. And it should fill us with all the things we talk about in the Advent season, joy, hope, and peace, because there's no one who ever walked planet Earth like Jesus Christ. He is the one and the only one who has saved us from our sins, who has come inside of us and transformed us and given us a new life and a new nature to now live for him, to restore the original dominion mandate back to us, that we could actually live in the image and likeness of our Creator. What a wonderful story it is. And you know, as I look back on life, I see that God was constantly, even though I was running and rebelling, God was constantly trying to get my attention. Do you ever do that from your perspective of where you're at now in life? Think back of how good God is and how gracious he is to you when you wanted nothing to do with him, or a complete rebellion to what it is that his word teaches us, he was still pursuing, still coming after us. Think how quick we give up on one another or give up on people. Man, one offense, one hurt, one pain, one whatever. And, you know, we're ready to just never talk to that person again. We offend God probably every day, you know, or disappoint him in some way every day. And he's Emmanuel. He's there with us, his grace and his mercy. He's so much different than us, the scripture teaches. And how? He's merciful. His mercy is so incredible. And as we read the Christmas story, it's a reminder, the sign that everything you think about and do in life should be centered around the desire to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything. Do you know that nothing else matters if you don't have that right? Loving the Lord, drawing close to him, and out of that, loving yourself and loving others in relationship the way that he wants us to do it. You know, God's constantly making himself known to us, and unfortunately, it's human nature to ignore it, to ignore the signs, or to put them off, or I will do that later, or to procrastinate. Right? And whether it's denial or laziness or busyness of life or selfishness, there's so many reasons to overlook how God is drawing you in closer to his presence, closer to his purpose, closer to the reality of his will that ultimately I believe is the only thing really that will satisfy and make you complete and whole, is being in the center of that, no matter what it is. It was for the joy set before him, Jesus said, that he endured the cross. It was the one, Jesus, who said that I only live to do what it is I see my Father doing, and I only do what pleases him. And Jesus had tapped into something that touches and satisfies the depths of who we are like nothing else in life. It's the pleasure of God. It's waking up knowing that God is pleased with you in anything you go through. We look at martyrs. We look at the people who suffer and go, how do they do it? Because it's the pleasure of God that marks their life. And we live in America that gets so consumed with materialism and the things we have and the busyness of life and just living for this present day. And in it, we're as depressed and insecure as we've ever been, having more than we ever need. And I want to find that place. I want to find that place in Christ that only He can provide, that is full of that joy, that is full of that peace, that is full of that hope. And if we can't find it in this season, we'll never find it. I believe there's special times of the year. You know, this isn't just a ritual we should go through. This is a time to stop and let Jesus be who He was destined to be in our lives. See, the world in this time wants to do what? It wants to speed you up. It wants to get you in more activity. It wants to get you to consume, right? And nothing wrong with participating in all of that, but not to the degree to where you miss the whole reason for the celebration. And it goes by so fast that you enter 2017, and God forbid, we're not changed. We're not more like Him. We haven't stopped long enough to let Him really impact us and really examine our heart to make sure that everything we're doing is in line with Him and it's pleasing Him. We've really let go of the old and we're grabbing hold of the new. We're not carrying bitterness or anything else into the new things that He wants to do for us. So that another year goes by and it's like, well, really, I'm this kind of the same old person just going around the block again. It's not how God wants us to live. He's got new and great things for us. And He's constantly, constantly revealing His will to us. The sign, the greatest sign ever. Think about it. Here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the world up to then had seen how kings live in their palaces and how they would abuse power. And the expectation that now this king was going to come and God makes His entrance in flesh and blood into the world as a baby in a manger with great humility. Amen. I mean, that amazes me. How the one, as far as lives in inexpressible light and who is completely without sin. And because of that, even more, like imagine trying to run into the sun. You know what I mean? Like imagine like the sun being from me to Pastor Charles. Just what an impossible thought. God's glory and light is so much greater than that. In that regard, so approachable. And all of a sudden, in an instant, the shepherds and the angels who had longed all throughout history, flying by the throne, waiting, just maybe hoping, could I peek and gaze upon the face of God? In a moment, all of a sudden, they could. They could, and that's why there was great rejoicing. The angels, He's been seen by the angels. Shepherd, common people, anyone. Not based upon socioeconomic status or anything else, but the common man or anyone else could now approach God and be in relationship with Him. It was an incredible, incredible moment. You know, I always get astounded by how, you know, we think we've got to know everything and, you know, have the right theology and all of that stuff. And it's important. But so often we miss Christ in our pursuit of just trying to know everything. And we allow it to divide us. And the one thing that Scripture is clear about is God did not come for the wise person. He came for the foolish one who is crazy enough to believe that He is real and humble enough to seek Him. That's who He revealed Himself to. Not to the know-it-alls and not to the ones who thought they had everything and didn't need Him. It was the ones who were desperate for something of reality and truth and recognized in their own humility their need. Are you there today? Don't let the season miss you from the reality of your desperation for Jesus. Yes. He came humble to remind us that we're to be humble in our pursuit of Him. Signs, signs. God always giving us signs. You know, I pray, God, I don't want to miss your will. I don't want to miss what it is that you want to do with my life. Lord, when it's all said and done, I don't want to stand before your judgment in vain and go, I did my will, not your will. That all of my life existence on planet Earth was really about me and had no eternal significance. What an empty thought that is. And, you know, it's quite frightening how we can miss the signs that God gives us every day to draw us close to him. Over Thanksgiving break, we were down at my in-laws, and they had the National Geographic channel on, and it just happened to be on shark attacks. And I was just kind of walking by, and this girl was talking, and it caught my attention, and she started describing the day at the beach. You know, and normally, I don't know about you, but if normally when you go to the beach, it's fun. It's exciting and fun. We're at the beach, and, you know, it's refreshing, and how many people, right? I mean, is that how you feel when you go to the beach? You kind of go to the beach, and it's like, I'm at the beach. Everything's all right in the world, you know? And so they get to the beach, and she goes, you know, something didn't feel right. I had this dreary kind of weird feeling. Something just wasn't right. And so I'm thinking, well, what did she do with that feeling? And very next sentence, so we got in the water. I'm like, you know, if I showed up at, I mean, we show up at the beach happy, and, you know, we get to our ankles, and we're like, get back, you know, get away, get back. Don't go too far out. Let alone showing up and going, man, just, you know, something doesn't feel right. So what do? You get in the water, right? And so here was the next picture of her father getting in the water. Someone took that. They're screaming at him. Hey, shark! And finally, that's when he realized that they were yelling for about a minute. And all of a sudden, he never heard them. He all of a sudden, you know, that spidey sense, he felt, man, something's about to eat me. Turned around and somebody snapped that picture. And thank God he made it back to shore. But I was thinking, God, human nature, to ignore the sign. You know, I think of my own personal life. I don't know about you, but how I'll get busy in life and miss the signs. A few years back, I would come into our bedroom, and especially late at night and then early in the morning when we get up, because that's when probably the only time it was quiet in the house, and I would hear this sound of running water. And that's not normal. Are you with me? So I went out, and I, like, the sprinklers weren't on, and it was in the winter season, so, you know, we weren't watering the yard or anything, and, you know, and then for about, that seemed like probably 2 weeks, every time I'd go in the back, I'd hear water running. And what did I do? I just ignored it. And every time I'd go to the back and it was quiet, I'd hear the water running. And so finally, I don't even know what I think I might have got enough sense to make a call or look, but or maybe life brought me to a certain place outside in the house that I really go, and what happened? A pipe had busted. And water was running outside. Thank God it didn't bust inside. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, what an idiot I am. Like, I hear water running for 2 weeks and I just don't do anything about it. You know, like, well, maybe that's not water running. Like, maybe that's not really happening. Or maybe that's not important. Or maybe that's the new normal in life. You know, that sound that is sound of water running when it shouldn't be running, you know, like, okay, I'll just settle for that and that'll be okay and just go on doing my other things and just, you know, flood the neighborhood, you know? And I think how that relates to our walk with God is how, you know, God's trying to get our attention, slow us down, stop us, get us refocused, and we just ignore all that and just get more busy or more activities or just whatever else. And then Pastor Charles and Pastor Ron get the call, and it's like carnage in life, you know. It's like picking up body parts, you know. I preached. I mean, like foam coming out of the mouth, preached to Josiah's baseball team on last week during one of our training sessions. We were running on the track, and a very pretty track girl goes running by, and they were no longer listening to Coach Miller. Coach Miller was like, not even on planet Earth. Are you with me? And I'm timing them. I've got 40 kids by myself trying to get them lined up and run 60 yards and synchronized so I can get accurate times. In their 13th week of training, trying to peak them for January. They don't care about any of that. They care about the girl in the pink pants running around the track. So I'm standing down there starting them go, and they're all jumping off. They're talking about the girl, and they're all jumping off. And so after the first one, I didn't get any accurate times. I went crazy. I lost my Christianity and salvation for about a minute. And none of them had ever seen me like that. And I preached to them about the reality. That I said, if you're looking at that, trying to get that, I said, what are you going to even do if you catch it? What are you going to do with it right now? I said, it will destroy your life. It will destroy your life. That good-looking thing will ruin your life right now. And I just started preaching to him. And I said, let me tell you why I'm talking like this. And I said, I'm not a pastor right now. I'm not your coach. I said, I'm talking to you like a father. And I said, probably nobody else will talk to you like this. But I said, I'm going to right here, right now. I said, that will destroy your life in the wrong time for you. And right now is not the wrong time. You can barely get to here on time, let alone take care of some girl. I said, why am I being so passionate and angry? And they said, because you care. And I said, that's right, because I care. Yeah. I said, let me tell you another reason. I said, I've got the job to where 20 years from now, when you grow up, you're going to be one of two men. You're either going to be the man who is faithful and a good father and a good husband, and you're going to maybe sit around one day and go, man, I'm thankful that Coach Miller talked to me as a father in a way that most people don't today. I said, or you're going to be the kind of man that is sitting around with regrets because you didn't have the character to not entertain that lust, and you made bad choices, and now you and some woman and children are hurt because of it. I said, many of you got separated families just because of that's how the world lives today, and it's not right. And I said, I hate the phone calls when they call back. And I said, I don't want any one of you all to ever do it and say, I wish I would have listened.
Yeah, man.
And I told him, I said, the only thing that'll keep you from that is knowing Jesus. Yeah. Loving him when he's more important than any of your feelings or any of your thoughts or anything else that you're going through, but living for him. God constantly trying to give us signs. But here's the thing about signs. Do you know that we shouldn't seek signs? We should seek him. See, first and foremost, signs reveal to us what's most important. That's what signs are for. You know, if you walk into a place, if you're somewhere new, here's the word of wisdom for the day. Find out these two things. Who's in charge? Who's in charge? And what are the rules? And you can live a long and prosperous life if you just do that. Are you with me, Pastor Charles? Anywhere you go, who's in charge? And what are the rules? And usually there are signs that are telling you wherever you go, what's really important in that place. You with me? But what do we do today? It's dark and dreary. And God's feeling it, you know. We're like, oh, forget that. I'll get in the water. Signs inform us of what's most important. God sent Jesus as a sign in the fullness of time to remind us what's most important, our relationship with him. You know, this holiday season isn't about decorations. It's not about shopping. It's not about gifts. Nothing wrong with that. It's about Jesus. It's not about whatever routines or customs or rituals that we participate in. It's about the one true living God named Jesus. And let's read Matthew 16, 1 through 4. You know, it's a dangerous place to be in your heart where you begin to demand a sign from God before you're willing to follow him or obey him or seek him. Well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Yes. That is a dangerous place to be. In fact, it's a wicked and evil place to be, according to Jesus himself. In Matthew 16, 1 through 4, it says, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, when evening comes, you say, it is fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. And many scholars believe the sign of Jonah was when Jonah was in the belly of the well 3 days and three nights. Same sign of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection would be the ultimate sign, his resurrection, that he is the Messiah. And so look what he said there, man. Something's wrong in our hearts when we feel God has to prove himself to us. And as I said before, if we get in that place where, God, if you do these things, I'll do those certain things. Do you know that Jesus is worthy to be served because he is Jesus? We need no other reason. We need no other reason. I mean, you know, it's hard. Now, I know it's so hard because we live in such an entitled world that we feel like, you know, we deserve everything we have. Do you know what we deserve as human beings on planet Earth? And I'm really a nice guy. Hang out with me for a week and you'll find out that I'm really, really a nice guy. But do you know that what we deserve, the only thing we deserve, you know what it is? What? Death and destruction and hell. That's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. And so when you view life from that truth and biblical worldview and perspective, how can you not be thankful and gracious and merciful and forgiving and kind and motivated to say, God, you've done so much for me. What little thing can I do for you in comparison to the reality of what you gave for me? See, that's what the Christian life should be like. Are you with me? And even Jesus teaches us, he used a different metaphor, but he said, we're to be what in the world? We are light in the world, right? So what are lights? Lights are signs. You know, when you came in this morning, you saw two lit Christmas trees. What did that symbolize to you? It's what? It's Christmas time. Right? Amen. The kids are going, it's Christmas time. The parents are going, oh my God, nothing left in the back pocket. And we are to be the ultimate signs of who Jesus really is. And that's why our life should exude with joy. You know, it's amazing. You know how I know God's real? Because I have joy in my life. And listen, if you got inside of me, I'm like this close from going insane. I'm coaching the 40 kids, and I'm like, guys, you just don't know. Like, man, I got three boys I got to do this with every day. I got to walk the halls and pick up this and pick up that, and don't touch my phone. Somebody touched my phone this morning, and it had like sticky gum all over my thumb access to get into it, and I couldn't get into it. So I come into church. I got to clean the gum off my phone, Pastor Charles, because they touched my phone. And I'm like this close to like blowing up the world. Are you with me? Yeah. Like just going crazy and just shaving my head and blowing things up, you know? But I don't do that. I have joy in my heart. Are you with me? I mean, that's how I know God's real. I go, somehow I have joy in the midst of like going insane. I think about just the world, and Pastor Charles and I talk about the church all the time, and think about my family and kids, and, you know, they're getting in driving phase and cars and insurance and all those worries, and I mean, college paying, but I have peace. How do I have peace? That would make you insane. Huh? How do I have peace? I get up and my back hurts. And because my back hurts, I walk different. Then my knee starts to hurt. And somehow, because my knee starts to hurt, my shoulder starts to hurt. And my workout now is like, I used to work out for an hour and be a great workout. Now my workout is just an hour warm-up. It's just a warm-up. And I get tired and go, I'm done. I'm done warming up. I'm done. I'm just going home now. And I face the reality of just life and how it hits you and how everything is vanity. But in the midst of it, there's hope. Are you with me? There's hope. There's hope that our existence isn't insignificant. There's the hope of eternity. That's how I know God's real. Because every day, I'm 1 second away from losing the plot, from just blowing it all. But by His grace, I don't. By His mercy, I don't. Yeah. Holiday season reminds us that we should not seek signs. We should seek God. You know, I just kind of Googled some thoughts about the Christmas season, and do you know that some people rate Christmas as being more stressful than getting robbed or going through a divorce? The holiday period is meant to be a time for celebration, but research shows that December is the most stressful month for workers, and it reduces actually work productivity. Now, this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, and it's the most stressful time of the year. There was a survey in the UK by memorizethis.com, and Christmas is right up there with moving and changing jobs and going through broken relationships as the most stressful event that people experience in their life. And most people, when they think about Christmas, they think it brings stressful feelings to their life because they think about shopping and entertaining and cooking and banking and all those things. And, you know, that's not the reason for the season, to use that cliche. And it's really our hope and prayer is that you don't miss that this season. Because it's so hard to just break out of the rut of life or just break out of what you've been doing and do something new. And that's the challenge, I believe, for us go to this holiday season. And it be evident in the way we live our lives, the way we commune with God individually, the way we love and fulfill our roles, whatever they may be in our family relationships, the way we treat our neighbor, the way we influence those who don't know Jesus. I'm praying that it would be that the birth of Jesus and all the things I talked about, where people can look at us in such a way. That's why I love the sign in the manger, is somehow I can look at him and I can now, in his perfection, I can relate. Because as Hebrews teaches us, he in his humanity went through the same things we went through, yet was without sin. So he gives us a great example that he was not absent of going through what we go through every day. But he showed us the way to the Father, and he showed us a way to live, and he reprioritized what life on earth was all about. It's the greatest who are the ones who serve. Are you with me? It was revolutionary, and it always is today. And I'm praying that the reality of what his birth stands for would get into us, because when it does, let me tell you, we start to turn things upside down. And life gets chaotic in a good way. See, when we don't serve Christ, life gets chaotic in the wrong way. But I don't know about you, but man, how would you like, how going into the new year, how about vision? What if we were baptizing folks every Sunday? I had someone show up this morning. They came and said, you know what? I need to get baptized. I'm like, praise God. God's moving on this. Oh, Jesus could only do that. He can only do that. What if that was every Sunday?
Yes.
Come on now. Are you with me?
Yes.
When's the last time you visited a hospital with a baby being born? Has anybody done that over the last 2 years? Raise your hand if you've done that. Raise your hand. Was that exciting? You couldn't wait. You couldn't wait. Imagine new births. New births. The excitement of that. The excitement of that. Salvations and new births. You read the Christmas story, and right in the midst of, man, wicked people and evil and King Herod trying to kill all the firstborn male babies and the stress of life, no room in the inn, and man, pregnancy and having to travel and not a lot of resources, just all the things we all deal with of humanity. Right in the midst of it, there's great joy and there's great rejoicing and there's great celebration because a baby's born and it means something. It's significant in the midst of all the chaos and fallenness of the world. What life's all about, Jesus is right in the middle of it, and right here today, he's still right in the middle of it for us, in the midst of all the stress in classes and all the worries about the future and all the finances and bills you stress about every day to pay and your health and all those things. Jesus is right in the center of it still today. We must not miss it. As I conclude, the final thought is, don't miss the reason for Christmas. Don't miss Christ this Christmas. You know, I saw Tim Tebow being interviewed last week, and I love his spirit. And Sean Hannity was actually interviewing him, and you know how it is sometimes. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but when you're around somebody who kind of feels like their Christianity is about their own righteousness, and so we compare with one another and go, well, he's this, so he must be more righteous than I. And so Sean was kind of playing that game with Tebow, you know, like, you're a better person than me, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I love what Tim said. He goes, you know, that's the cool thing about being a Christian. It's not about what we do. It's about what he did. In other words, our righteousness isn't based about what we do. We do good things because what he did for us. And our good deeds do what as they should? They bring glory to the Father, not to us or a religion or anything else. They bring glory to Jesus, because we don't do good deeds to be righteous. We do good deeds because of what he did. So our Christianity isn't about what we do. It's not about the shopping and the entertainment and all the other things. It's about what he did. Don't miss that. That will change your life. It's about what he did. And that's what we celebrate. And see, that's where joy and peace, hope comes, because only in that place, when it's just about what he did and not about what we have to do, that's the only place of freedom. Amen. That's where you're free.
Amen.
You know, all of life, all the world, everything in the world conditions you that you do something to get something. And it's all of the navigation through life is learning how to play that game. What do I need to do for these people to get this over here? Or how do I get promoted? Oh, go visit this person. Or, hey, I want this job. Well, man, I got to go hang out in this club, you know, and do all that. That's not how God operates. It's not about what we do to get somewhere. It's about what he did and the celebration of that and the acknowledgement of that and the seeking of that being him and him alone. And in doing that with a purity of heart and a sincerity of faith, he rearranges all of planet Earth to make it work for you. That's what all scripture reminds us. It was David, the shepherd boy, that God rearranged everything and set it all up perfect and had him perfectly prepared for a moment for his glory.
Yeah.
And I want in this Christmas season the reality of that to get deep in your hearts to where you know if I seek God, everything I experience, he'll be in it and rearranging it. For his glory, for his glory. And I, and you, we get to be a sign in the midst of it. John 21:25 says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would have room for the books that would be written. Think about Jesus' impact as we close. You know, those videos, every time they make me cry. Every time we show those videos in the Christmas season, I get emotional. And I think, I love Mary. I love the story of Mary, the Christmas story with Mary. Can you imagine Mom Mary? Holding what she said, my son, am I a redeemer? God, wow. That's powerful. Did you feel the sense of anticipation in the first video, if you were here? That was a jab. Joseph, he's here. See, I'm just like you. Life's tough, but he's here. And this Christmas season reminds us of that.
Yes.
He's here.
Yes.
He's here. Yes. It's going to be all right. You know, when Pastor Charles and I first came together, man, we're dealing with a merger and all the things and why you shouldn't do it. As a younger man, I'd be like, what about this? He'd just look at me and pat me and go, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He's here. It's going to be all right. I want to inspire you with his influence over the years. Universities started in his name for his purpose. Hospitals, civil liberties, the abolition of slavery, the modern science movement, by great people who were seeking the Creator and what he had revealed to them in creation. They were the ones who have made the greatest inventions on planet Earth. The elevation of women in the common man, a high regard for human life, preservation of ethical standards in regards to sexual conduct and relationships, eternal salvation for countless souls, the discovery of the new world by Columbus, and the revelation that the world's not flat, it's round. That was important to know. And one time it was debated. It was revelation from God. When everybody else thought it was flat, revelation said, nope, it's round. Greater development of art and music, the civilization of many barbarian and primitive cultures, the codifying and setting to writing of many of the world's languages, representative government, literacy and education for the masses, benevolence and charity, the good Samaritan ethic, and the golden rule, could go on and on and on about Christ's influence in the world. That inspires me. I asked those same group of kids, who's your hero and why? And every single one of them listed an athlete because of a talent. I said, you know, guys, so what's more important than talent? It's character. I said, because what you build with your talent, you'll destroy with your lack of character. I said, let me tell you who my hero is. It's Jesus. And I began to list some of those reasons why. I said, even greater than all those reasons, because just like Mary realized, I've realized it too. He's my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. Don't miss the sign this season. Let Jesus be who he came to be in your heart. And let this be a Christmas season like none other, to where greater than the gifts and greater than the activities,